Hello, church, and welcome to another Morning Manna podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it is my pleasure to take you through the Word and get some encouragement or some instruction. Over the weekend, the idea of meditation kind of came to me in a couple of different ways. You know, the world has its ideas about meditation, where you would clear your mind and try to become one with the universe and all of that, put it bluntly, that's kind of an opposition with what the Word of God says. You know, the first mention of meditation is in Genesis, and we see that with the story of Isaac's bride. And in chapter 24 of Genesis, we see that Abraham has sent his servant back to his homeland to find his son, Isaac, a suitable bride. He doesn't want Isaac to take a bride from the Canaanites, with all of their false idol worship and all the rest. So he wants an acceptable bride for his son. And so there's a series of instructions with that. The chapter's quite long. It's 65, 67 verses. So we won't read those. I encourage you to do so. But the instructions from Abraham to his servant was to go back into the land and find a specific type of girl, one who would come voluntarily. He was not to compel her. He was to lay out Abraham's offer to have him bring back a wife. She was to do so voluntarily and not to be compelled. And so there was some question to this. And we see, we come to the end of this episode here in verse 63, as the servant was returning with Rebekah. So we know from the story that God was faithful and the servant found Rebekah and Rebekah was willing to come back. But Isaac didn't know this yet. And so we see this in verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. So this mention of Isaac in the field in the evening, lifting his eyes and meditating. And the second time that we see the idea of meditation mentioned is in Joshua 1:8. And this is when Joshua is being commissioned by God to take over for Moses. Moses had just died. And we see so in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. This was when the Lord is speaking to Joshua after Moses had died, and he's commissioning him to take the people into the promised land. And he's commanding Joshua here to meditate on the book of the law. And we see that in verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So it's worth noting here, in Genesis and in Joshua, the word for meditate, it's both translated meditate, but they're two different words. They each, however, they're only slightly different, but they have within their meaning, both of them have within their meaning this idea of musing or imagining or thinking deeply about serious issues. And so I've been listening to a medical podcast recently and recently learned that the imagination comes from the memory portion of our brain. And so once it's explained, it makes sense, right? We take what we know of the world, you know, our experiences and our choices, along with what we know of other people's choices and experiences and how those choices impact lives. And so we take all of that, which resides in our memory, And then we kind of we imagine or we muse pensively. That's one of the other definitions that describes meditation, is to pensively think. And it just means serious, to be serious when you're thinking. And so we take all of that and we project it into the future. So in short, we take our past and we kind of cast it into the future, and we ask ourselves some questions like, what would happen if I changed this or if I added that? And so that's a very simplistic explanation, but it's close, right? For example, you could take what you know about your food choices. You could remember the last time you added hot sauce and the heartburn that that caused, and you could project that into the future and be pretty confident that if you had that same hot sauce, that you'd have the same heartburn. But then that's when the musing begins, right? Like, what if I added only half as much hot sauce, or like 3/4, okay? But so aside from that, Isaac and Joshua, they're not meditating on something as trivial as hot sauce, right? So they're both at pivotal points, not only in their own personal lives, right? So Isaac was about to receive his bride. He was waiting for his bride, not sure if she was coming, but he was about ready to receive her. And this would not only help fulfill God's promises to make a great nation from Abraham. And Joshua, he was taking over leadership for Israel. He was charged with taking them into the promised land. And so not only their personal lives were impacted, but the nation of Israel and God's redemptive story, these are both pivotal moments for that. And so they had a lot to meditate on, right? They had a lot to think seriously about. And even within these definitions, there's a component of muttering or talking to oneself. And so I'm sure none of you have ever talked to yourself. And even if you had, it's biblical. And it's only kind of weird if you ignore yourself while you're talking to yourself. So Isaac and Joshua, I'm sure, had a bit of muttering, and that's to be understandable, right? These were crucial moments for God's people, and they would have generational impacts. Like, we are feeling the impacts of these moments, and in which we see Isaac meditating and Joshua commanded to meditate. And so you can kind of imagine this, you know, Isaac in that field, if you kind of put your imagination to that, and the language of Joshua, or the language of Isaac in the field, this was not a one-time thing. This makes it seem like this was a regular thing for him. And so it reads as like if it's an occurrence that happens regularly. So at any rate, we can imagine Isaac, like, knowing that his father Abraham has told him these stories of how God had called him out of the land and promised to make a great nation out of him. And so then here he is in this field. Excuse me. He's looking up. He's like, Father God, I know that you told my dad that through him would come a great nation, and he believed you, and that means that I need to be married. And my dad sent his servant off to this far country to find me a wife, and there's a chance that he'll return empty-handed because she's not compelled to come. She's going to have to come on her own free will, and that seems like a big ask, right? But dad left his home for your promise, and so all I can do is trust in that promise as well. And, you know, you were faithful. You know, that's why I'm here. Mom and dad were past the age of bearing children, and you promised them a son, and here I am. And you were faithful on the mountain to provide yourself a sacrifice. And so that's kind of weird too, because does that mean that you'll be the sacrifice ultimately? But I know what you've said. And so he's in the field meditating on these things. And so he's calling to mind repeatedly, which is another meaning too, to ruminate, right? Cows ruminate, right? They chew their food continually. They digest it, and then they belch it back up, and they chew on it some more. And so we can imagine him calling to mind repeatedly God's promises and God's faithfulness to fulfill those promises, and as he's in the field doing this. And then we can see Joshua. We can think about Joshua, who God is explicit in his role that he was to meditate as the leader of Israel, to show them this pattern, to meditate. And we see what we're to meditate on here. We're to meditate on God's word. In Joshua, it says, the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, right? And in another place, the book of the law. So what they had at that time was God's word to call to mind repeatedly these promises of God and how he's been faithful to fulfill them. And so the result of this is to give us assurance and confidence, right? That's the purpose of meditation, thinking deeply about or calling to mind repeatedly God's promises, is it should motivate us to step into what God has called us to do, which is to love Him and love others and to tell them about Jesus and to teach them to follow Him. And so when you find yourself at a crossroads with a big life change, can I encourage you to meditate on Jesus and His promises and, you know, call to mind your past and how He was faithful to fulfill His promises in your past and how He's sure to do so in the future. And so you can rest in His promise to fulfill that in your life as well. And so I hope that's encouraging for you today. Have a great rest of your week.